Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up, Randy in Colorado. Hi, Randy.
Hello, Hank. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. Appreciate your ministry so much. And just want you to know the Bible Answer books and the Creation Answer book have been just invaluable tools for my family, daily devotionals for my young children, and appreciate how they've guided us and stretched us, and just wanted to let you know that.
Well, thanks. That's extraordinarily encouraging.
Yes. I heard you answer a question on an earlier broadcast regarding homosexual marriage. While this is a hypothetical question for me, and I pray for you, it's a very real question to a dear friend who has asked me to counsel with him on this. But should a Christian attend the homosexual marriage of one of his children?
You know, what's interesting about that, especially is the personal aspect. You know, you're talking about one of your children. And, you know, we did an article in Christian Research Journal. It was actually a debate. One of the debaters is Michael Ross. The other is Joe Dallas. And I tend to agree with virtually everything Joe Dallas says on the subject of same-sex marriage. But in this particular case, I actually take the position of Michael Ross. I would attend that marriage. Certainly would be very candid and open in terms of what my belief was. And with a family member, that probably wouldn't be a surprise. But I wouldn't shun that family member, because I'd always want the door to reconciliation to be wide open. Sometimes there's a divide that comes as a result of these sorts of things, and I don't think that we should shun those that we so desperately want to reach. So I personally would attend that wedding and certainly always be available for communication with gentleness and with respect. But Joe Dallas on this subject is, I would say, far more equipped than I am. This is a field that he knows intimately. And as I've had him on the Bible Answer Man broadcast many times, I always glean an insight from him. So I highly value his position, although it is not my position.
Fair enough. I thank you so much, and that helps me.
And the article you can find on the web. And if not, I can send you a copy of it. But I think it's really worth reading the debate. Two fine Christian gentlemen who are extraordinarily gifted in terms of not only their disciplines, but in terms of just interpreting Scripture rightly. So I think the article would be very helpful to you. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron in Orlando, Florida. He's listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
My question has to do with Genesis 2:18.
Uh-huh.
The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Does this mean that a person who refuses to be married, or for some reason cannot be married, will always suffer loneliness?
Well, no, I don't think so. And certainly there are many exemplars who didn't get married. And the reason is they wanted to devote themselves to Christ and the kingdom and not be encumbered. The Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, is a classic case in point. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself was not married. So I think that the ultimate objective, maybe the standard, if you will, in general, would be marriage. We were made for that union, but I don't think all Christians must be married. And certainly Christians can find that companionship in a sanctified sense, in deep friendships with both males and females outside of marriage.
Yeah, what confuses me about that also is that when Adam was created, he was created in a state of perfection. Well, if that's true, doesn't that preclude feeling lonely?
Well, I mean, think about the fact that God created us for fellowship, and the language of Genesis is anthropomorphic. It is a godly condescension to our own human limitations. So God desired fellowship with humanity, and yet God was completely self-sufficient in a love relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I don't think that Adam in some sense was created deficiently, but he is fulfilled in the marriage process.
Right, understood. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Good question. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick in Graham, Washington. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
It's so exciting to talk to you. I'm a recent listener of yours, and I heard you talking about end times theology, and I was just so amazed and impressed with how you paint images with the words you choose. Mm. It just blew me away. So it's great that I get to talk to you now.
Well, I'm privileged to talk to you as well.
So here's my question, and it's really been heavy on my heart. The doctrines of grace, or the 5 points of Calvinism, whatever you want to call it, and specifically predestination, does a person that is not predestined by God to receive the calling, if they hear the general call of the gospel, are they even capable? Does God grant them the grace and the faith to receive that call and become believers?
Well, from a Calvinist perspective, the answer would be no. In other words, God creates everyone in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel, but he regenerates those who are predestined in the Calvinist sense. And then they have ears, and they not only can hear, but they must hear. So those who are in the opposite category, who are not regenerated or rewired to be able to hear the gospel, those have no possibility whatsoever of responding to the gospel. Again, that is the Calvinist system. So you're made in such a way that you must of necessity act in accordance with your nature. In other words, God is sovereign, and you are free to do what you have been regenerated to do. But if you haven't been regenerated, you cannot do that. You cannot hear the gospel any more than a cow can fly. Again, that's the Calvinist perspective. It's called circumstantial freedom or compatibilistic freedom. I don't hold to that view, although, as I've said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I grew up in a Calvinist family. Early on, I was a Calvinist cadet. I memorized the Lord's Days of the Heidelberg Catechism. And so I was steeped in the Calvinist paradigm. But there were many questions that I had about it that I could not reconcile ultimately with the scriptures, although I very much admire those who are Calvinists and have found a way to do that. I think their reasoning is oftentimes inconsistent, just as they think mine is. And so the debate continues. But yeah, I mean, I can't hold to the notion that Calvin held to, which is that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man, and in him the ruin of his posterity, but at his own pleasure arranged it. The thing that leads me to think is that God is the author of evil. And in my view, God is not the author of evil. He created the potential for evil. Humans actualize that evil by their choices.
Yeah, and I'm still studying this, as well as other topics, and it just weighs heavy on me. But and I guess ultimately we're really not going to know until the end when we are with God, and then even then it may not even matter. So this must be one of those issues that we will find out at the end of all time.
I think the thing that we do have to hold fast to is the sovereignty of God, the justice of God, and genuine human culpability. I think that however you deal with those three issues. You have to deal with those three issues on the basis of the biblical text. And one of the things I've mentioned on this broadcast is a set of debates that we did in the Christian Research Journal, where we have a Calvinist, non-Calvinist debate this very subject. And those articles are up on the web. You can find them at equip.org.
Thank you. I will check that out. Hey, thank you for your time and for taking my call.
You're welcome. And we choose to conduct the debate with gentleness and with respect. We learn from one another. And many of the people that I endorse very highly as writers to the journal come from a Calvinist perspective, although many others do not. But again, I don't think that this is ultimately a point of departure. We can stand shoulder to shoulder with one another. Coming to a station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we could not do what we do. So we ask you to stand with us prayerfully as well as financially in a tangible way. You can do that on the web, equip.org. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff's most personal book ever, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is a vulnerable voyage detailing Hank's pilgrimage from a life devoted to a defense of truth because truth matters to his discovery that life matters more. Are you ready to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life? To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be back in a few moments with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also, write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the Internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now, once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to our phone callers. Next up, Charles in Belleville, Illinois. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. I just want to take much of your time. I just had a question about the Way International, if you knew anything about them and what your opinion was.
Yeah, it was founded by a guy named Victor Paul Weirwill. He died back in 1985, so they have a new president. Basic teaching is that Jesus Christ is not God. The Holy Spirit is an impersonal force or power. The law of believing that is taught in this context is that whatever you believe is going to happen, whether good or bad. So it has some smattering, as it were, of word of faith kinds of proclivities as part of the whole movement. But it's definitely a cultic movement.
Okay, well, thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. Appreciate your call. We'll go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Bruce listening in Lorena, Texas. Hi, Bruce.
Hello. My question for you is it wrong for me to have a desire to serve God more of a fear of his judgment and being sent to hell rather than simply a love for him? Because sometimes I feel like that's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've said this many times, but Jesus Christ is a person. And when we come into a relationship with him, we come into a love relationship with him. And the more that we get to know him, the more we love him. So the love increases, and not only increases in time, but will increase for all eternity. We're not omniscient. We're not those that will know everything when we get to eternity. So we will continue to grow and develop in our love and our passion for Jesus Christ. So it's an ever increasing blessing that we have to look forward to throughout the remainder of our lives and throughout all eternity. So what happens when you become a believer? You recognize that you're a sinner. You repent of that sin and you say, I love Jesus. I want to do it his way. He loved me. He was willing to sacrifice himself for me. No greater love does anyone have for another than he is willing to lay down his life for that person. And in the sense of Jesus Christ, he not only suffered for us physically, but also bore the sins of all humanity. So he suffered more than any person, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we might be reconciled to him, so that we might have a relationship with him. I mean, that's the whole thing. The whole thing is a matter of relationship. It's not just a logical set of truth propositions that we adhere to, but it is a love relationship. It is a life. And so Jesus Christ now goes with us as our friend. He carries us through the deep and dark disasters of life. He's an ever-present friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So it's incongruent for a believer not to develop that love relationship. But our relationship with Jesus Christ, talking about people in general, all at different levels. You know, if you want a deep relationship, you have to spend quality time with an individual on a human level, and certainly that's true with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more time you spend with him, the more you love him, the more intimate that love becomes.
Well, that's a good answer, and I have noticed that it has been the case that the more I concentrate on each thing that I do being done in accordance with his will, if in fact I'm able to do that, then I do feel like that the relationship is growing. And that is one of the reasons I was inspired to call and ask you that question. And I do appreciate your answer, but would it be okay if I asked you one more question?
Yeah, go ahead, Bruce.
Okay. I recently had a conversation with a person of the Jewish faith, and of course I wanted to know what the difference was, the biggest difference between the Christian faith and the Jewish faith. And of course, the answer, one of the answers was, is that they do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that that is simply a title. And of course, they went on to say that, you know, Abraham, for example, was basically the savior for the Jewish people, and mentioned some others. And my answer was, you know, I understand that most likely that teaching is coming from the Old Testament, but that those people could not bear the sins of anyone. Only Jesus could do that. And so I wanted to know what your perspective was on that, and if there was something about my answer that you thought I should change or should have answered differently on that question.
No, I think your answer was brilliant. I think it's right on point. Only Jesus Christ can bear the sins of humanity. Only Jesus Christ lived the perfect life. Only Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway and fulfill the Old Testament, jot and tittle. He is the only one who could emerge through the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. So Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and we can demonstrate that. I mean, just look at the prophecy. The prophecy in terms of his ancestry through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The prophecies concerning his birth in Bethlehem, not just any Bethlehem, but Bethlehem Ephratah. Of all the towns and hamlets in the world, only Bethlehem Ephratah would do. The fact that he would be crucified. So the circumstances surrounding his death are predicted by prophets like Isaiah. The time parameters, the date of his coming, was given within historically narrow time parameters. The fact that he would be an extraordinary worker of miracles, that he would fulfill all the law and the prophets, that he would not just be a parochial Jewish Messiah, but he would come so that the light might go out to the Gentiles as well, so that the knowledge of God would fill all the earth. So only Jesus could fulfill all of those very specific and well-detailed documented prophecies. And so when I talk to Jewish friends, I will point out that Jesus is the only one who can walk through that doorway and fulfill those prophecies, and therefore they don't have to wait for a coming Messiah. Messiah has already come and demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of resurrection, which is something that Paul, as a Jew, made an ironclad case for, saying that Jesus suffered fatal torment, the tomb was indeed empty, Christianity can't survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. He appeared, he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive to people that were around at the time and could be cross-examined if, in fact, this was not true. And then people are utterly transformed as a result of those appearances of Christ, such that they now are willing to die for the very one they once despised. Paul, of course, the classic example, but you think of James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was embarrassed by everything that Jesus stood for until Jesus appeared to him. And then he calls himself a bond servant of Christ. He becomes a leader of the Jerusalem church and eventually is stoned for his faith. And you inevitably have to ask the question, why would someone willingly die for the notion that one of his family members is, in fact, God? Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ can account for that. So, first of all, I think your answer was very good. Secondly, I think it's important to find out what kind of a Jew you're talking to, because Judaism has various expressions. There's Orthodox Judaism, known as Torah Judaism. It's best known for its strict dedication to the eternal and unalterable Mosaic law as reinterpreted by rabbis subsequent to the fall of Jerusalem. So only through devotion to the complex code of Jewish law can you experience nearness to God. I spent some time with two Orthodox Jewish rabbis in Iran, incidentally, and was privy and watched up close and personal as they tried to keep that complex system of laws, particularly with respect to eating. I felt very blessed that I didn't have to keep those laws, that Jesus said that it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It's what proceeds from the heart, and in saying that, Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. So you have, anyway, the Orthodox Jews, then you have the Reform Jews, you also have conservative Jews, and there are other permutations of Judaism as well.
Okay. Well, Hank, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to answer that for me, and I will try to probe farther with this person and find that answer out, because I would like to continue the conversation with them, and you've given me some very good points and some scripture to refer to as well. So thank you again so much for your time and being patient with me on this.
Oh, you got it, Bruce. And thank you for your desire to be a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the show's all about, and that's what we're seeking to do, to equip people, to encourage them, and to give them a model, not just in terms of content, but also in terms of composure, where you do what you do with gentleness and with respect. My book, Has God Spoken, really speaks to this issue on many different levels, so it's available as well. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Our prayer is that those listening who know Christ will indeed be ambassadors for Christ, so other lost sons and daughters of Adam can know the second Adam, who did what we could not do. He lived the perfect life which we could not live, and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. I want to leave you with that thought and look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.